Good morning, Montreal, and welcome to the Jewish Digest on Radio Centreville 102.3 FM in Montreal. On the internet, I'm your host, Leslie Letsky, and on today's show, my guest is Montreal author Angie Morvai to discuss her book, Waldensong Saturnalia. And this book is a novel based on the author's family history, and Angie Morvai not only is the author, she's one of the characters in this novel as well. Sound confusing? Well, let's hear my interview with Montreal author Angie Morvai. Angie, you've written a book called Waldensong Saturnalia. Could you give the listeners a little synopsis about the book?
The book is a family drama. It traces the fortunes of two families, and it pretty much covers about 100 years in time.
Who are the two families?
They are the families of the Morvais and also the Hermans. They are joined by marriage, and pretty much takes place during the war era, World War II, and the events that lead from that time.
And you're one of the characters in the book. Is this a true story? Is it imagined?
Yes, I take on the role of the narrator in the book. The narrator is called Angie. It's also the name of the author, A.D. Morvai. The story certainly begins with recollections, true life recollections of East London after the war. It's a mystical landscape, actually.
What is the name Waldensong Saturnalia? What does that mean or refer to?
It refers to the name of the street where this all begins, Walden Street. And Walden is significant because it could be a German word, der Wald. And trees, family trees, things like this, have an important role to play in the story. Also, Saturnalia, that part of the story, refers to not the Roman celebration, but more like a defiant celebration of life, I think, in the midst of darkness, is how I see the title.
I'd like to know more about the family background, and you're being interviewed on Jewish Digest, and I believe at least one of the families, the Morvai, have a Jewish background or were Jewish?
It is a Hungarian Jewish name, and it was apparently our name before the name was lost during the war years, and another name was taken, probably for pragmatic reasons. Where names have to be concealed, they have to be changed. Names are not safe to have, and therefore new names are taken.
So are you a descendant, then, of the Morvai family?
I am, and I'm reclaiming the name that was lost, as well as reclaiming as much of the story as I can, with much fiction interwoven in this story. It comes from true details, certainly, but much of the story is invented.
So how do you find out the details? How do you trace your family history?
There lies the problem. You go by stories, family legends. These legends are always, they're prone to someone's faulty memory, they're prone to invention. You just don't know. You take what is logical, you take what's plausible, you make up the rest. If you're going to create a whole, you have more fragments than you have whole pieces. And when I went to Germany, I lived there for 8 months, and I dug up as many of the stories as I could. I lived in England, and I did the same. I went on the hunt for as much as I could, but still, you come to discover that it's a very arduous process because there is more missing than is actual present for you to create.
You speak about the hunt. What do you mean? Were you interviewing family members? Were you doing research in libraries? What direction did your hunt take?
My hunt took me to Dortmund in the Westphalia region of Germany, where my ancestors have lived. And certainly I interviewed or I questioned or I really had conversations with as many of my German ancestors as I could dredge up, and I found it very interesting. Had I not done this, much of what I wrote really would not have taken place. I wouldn't have known. And I found it a fascinating journey. I also did research in Dortmund about the war era. I went to as many museums as I could. I read histories of partisan movements, which we don't hear much about. There were German partisan movements against the Hitler regime, and they were very cruelly put down. And these things are things that I read about while I was in Dortmund, and relearning German, actually, which was a wonderful experience.
Is all of this something that you were curious or wondering about when you were younger, or is this a more recent thing?
I think I was always intrigued by what I didn't know while I was younger. And when I was older, I got the opportunity to follow those traces. I had the opportunity, and I took it. And had I not done it then, I probably would never have had the opportunity again. So I'm very grateful that I did what I did at the time. Yes.
The book is a very long book. It took me about quite a while to read it. It covered about 100 years of history. It went all over the world, as I imagine your ancestors did, and it covered all kinds of emotions and people getting along, every kind of human emotion that you could imagine. How long were you actually writing the book?
Well, I may go into the Guinness Book of Records for the length of time it took me. In fact, I took about 35 years from the time I wrote the first word to the time that I actually published the book. There were many periods where it simply remained in a closet. I mean, I couldn't go further with it. I got blocked. Other things, my life overtook me. But it was very important for me to go back and finish that book. And had I not, so many hours of my life would have been wasted. And so toward the end of the book, most of it got written really toward the end in my mature years. And it's because I felt the urgency of finishing this. Otherwise, you know how things do. I mean, they can fade into nothingness if you don't bring them to a conclusion.
When you began 35 years ago, were you actually planning on writing a book, or was it more for personal reasons?
I did always see it as a novel. I saw it as a book. It seemed to me that there were so many interesting, important, colorful things, events, you know, conversations, characters that I wanted to bring to life. I wanted to restore, you know, what was passing. I wanted to preserve it, really. So I always saw it as a fiction. And of course, it is a fiction. And like all fiction, it uses whatever you have, whatever memories you have, you turn them to account. You know, you use them to the best of your ability. You try to be true to them.
One of the very strong characters in the book was Thaddeus. Could you talk about him?
Yes, Thaddeus. His name contains the word God. And he certainly was a mock God figure, a Christ figure as I see him. He was a very charismatic personality. He had a lot of followers. He was Angie's father, but he left the family very early. And for many years, he becomes a legend to her. He's her father, but he's actually her legend. And she only gets to know him when she lives with him later on in life. And that's when the real Thaddeus is the one she meets and the one she tries to understand.
And Thaddeus was actually, at least in the book, he was on a Montreal radio station doing astrology. Did that really reflect his real life?
He was a public person. He had various public engagements. He was a media personality. And so all those events certainly were plausible in his life.
As Angie's father in the book, was he was also your father in real life then?
Let's say part of him was, but there were many parts that you don't know about a person. They have many roles. They're parents, but they're also public people. They're individuals in their own right. And I think that simply he was a character that Angie wishes to describe and wishes to preserve. along with all the other characters in the story.
And I believe that Thaddeus was Jewish, or at least came from a Jewish family.
Yes, that was another intriguing part of this story that none of us really understood. He was born in Timișoara, which is Hungary, but it's today in Romania. But his mother was German, and his father was Hungarian Jewish. And we can just surmise from what the relatives tell in their stories that it was a very dangerous time for him to be in Germany, and it's not something that he wished to publicize, certainly not in those years. And therefore, his own safety, I believe he was sent away from Germany in the early years leading up to the war.
So was the name Morfi then, Morfi, more like of a Jewish kind of name at that time?
I believe it was a Hungarian Jewish name, but we're not even certain that it was genuine. That even that might have been a taken name, from what I've been told by people who have lived in that part of the world. So the mystery continues. The mystery always continues.
So did the writing and research of the book, did it make the mystery less mysterious, or is there more mystery upon mystery?
Probably the latter. Nobody really, really knows. And there are little bits and pieces that you pick up here and there. And from these bits and pieces and fragments, you try to see a whole. And that's why it's a fiction. It really cannot ever be a biography, and it doesn't try to be. It deliberately does not try to be.
So when you were writing the book, were you maybe hiding certain things that might be too biographical or too revealing?
Well, you get the chance to re-script things as you choose. You're in control. At least you think you are. And that's the beauty of it. You can rearrange things as you please and as you must, actually, to the best of your ability.
So how did the process work? Would you write in a coffee shop? Would you write late at night? How did the actual physical writing work?
Well, it varies, really. It mostly came when I was, well, let's say inspired or feeling moved to keep on with this story. And some of it was rather prosaic, and others parts of it did feel inspirational. It really varied from day to day.
One thing I remember in the book was that Thaddeus was working for British intelligence, kind of interpreting astrological charts of Hitler's generals to somehow help the British in the military. Did that actually happen, or is that imagined?
To my knowledge, it happened. The details are a little sketchy, and all I can say is that he was part of the psychological warfare activity that the British intelligence conducted in the middle, sort of in the early part of the war. It was a desperate situation, and Britain was in a desperate plight. The German war machine was the biggest the world had ever seen. England was in great peril. And I can understand that they would try anything at all. Any approach was good. Propaganda of any kind, misinformation. And the idea that Hitler might be influenced by his astrologer's predictions and his consultations and his advice, that it might somehow sway the conduct of how he carried on the war, was a logical possibility. And I guess they had to cover every chance that they had to combat the danger. And so apparently, Thaddeus did learn astrology in a very, very hurried manner. He was given crash courses. And he and another team of people under Louis de Vaulx, who is documented quite frequently in the archives, in the internet, and so on, he too was Hungarian Jewish, apparently. That's another interesting correlation between the two. And he was also German-speaking. That the head of this black team, as they call them, and that between the group, they managed to come up with some plausible directions that Hitler could have taken in his attacks and so on. Who knows if it was of any use, really, in the end? Who knows? People like to think that it did have a utility, and it may or may not have. But certainly, Thaddeus mentions it with great pride in his memoirs of the war era, in which he claims and feels that he had a very helpful role, you know, in settling this dreadful period in history.
You give an acknowledgement to the Sadie Bronfman Center for helping you translate Yiddish. Which of the characters was speaking Yiddish?
Well, here's another part of my creations. I don't really know for sure whether Tadeusz's grandmother spoke Yiddish. I simply assume that she did, and I gave her some Yiddish conversation. She was Hungarian also, Hungarian Jewish. Possibly she didn't speak Yiddish, but in my scenario she did. And therefore I gave her some choice Yiddish phrases, and of course I couldn't spell them at all. So they were very kind at the Sadie Bronfman, and they gave me the spellings of the little sentences that I needed, you know, to complete this little picture.
I'm talking with Angie Morvai, author of Walden's Song Saturnalia, and how could people buy the book?
Well, there will be a link on the Invisible Cities Network website.
Do you want to say the website?
Yes. It's invisiblecitiesnetwork.org.
I thank you very much, Angie.
Thank you very much, Leslie.
So that was Angie Morvai, author of Walden's Song Saturnalia. And if you'd like to go to the website, it's invisiblecitiesnetwork.org. invisiblecitiesnetwork.org. And you could find a copy of Walden's Song Saturnalia. And we're coming to the end of the program, so do stay tuned for Stan, for Mort, the rest of the Happy Gang, and we're going to close with some music today of Cantor Sharon Azrieli. And we'll be back next week. Thanks very much for listening. Bye now.